we really feel like hearing God is essential to where we are right now. I think probably the reason that we are where we are as a country and as a church is because we've neglected hearing the voice of God. We've chosen to listen to a lot of other people and things and lots of people that are smart and all of those things, but yet His voice is the only one that matters. The message is still developing in my head, so be gracious with me. We believe that hearing the voice of God brings us back to the foundation that we were created for, where all the other voices will lead us away from that, the noise and distraction. But the voice of the Father draws us close. Voices going on. It's a great time to be alive. There's air conditioning and stuff, and I love that. But man, growing up, and some of that makes me go, man, I wish it could be simpler now. Because the problem is we have all these voices, we have all these people trying to talk to us. I mean, we have this whole thing, this new word is called influencers. And it's like we have, these people, they can't even write in cursive. They don't know how to write checks, but yet they're going to tell me what I need to do. Larry's got socks older than half of these influencers, don't you? You know? I mean, but yet there's these influencers, there's podcasters, there's pastors, there's politicians, there's news media. There's all these people that are saying, do it this way. This is the right way if you want to do this. And can I tell you that? I don't know. I just kind of believe him when he said that he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. That this is the answers. This holds the answers to everything that we need. I'm not against podcasters or influencers necessarily, but like, or we can't allow those people to determine which way we go or what is the right thing or the wise thing to do, because don't buy a house now, just give it, it'll go down. And can I say, have you prayed about it? Because what can look like a foolish decision in the natural will lead to the most blessings you've ever had in the spiritual. But if you wait and go, oh, I just got to wait for the interest rates because that's what's smart and wise and that we should do. But my question is, but have you asked him if that's what you're supposed to do? You see, we've reduced the voice of God to these big decisions in life. We've reduced the voice of God and asking him and hearing from him on, should I move or should I stay? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Should I go to school or should I not go to school? Should I get my dad something for his birthday next Sunday or should I not get something for my dad for birthday next Sunday? Ben, maybe the Lord's saying something to you. Like, but like, we have all these voices and we've allowed all of them to pull us away and we've reduced the voice of God to these big decisions in life when the truth is that the voice of God was meant to be with us every second of every day. When you go back to the garden, and I know I go back to Genesis 1 and I go back to the garden so often, but it says that Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the cool of the day. Yes. Yes. Where, and it shows in church too, because now we feel like Sundays are like the day to come and get fed. And then we go out Monday and we do whatever we want. And don't worry, we'll come back Sunday again. But you see, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to raise up a people that long to hear the voice of God. Not that just like, oh man, yeah, he's talking again. But like, I want to raise up people that long to be in his presence. You see, because his voice will always bring us back into his presence. God's voice is not reserved for pastors, for prophets, for tithers, for the spiritual elite. God speaks to everyone. God speaks through his word, through his spirit, through our circumstances, through other people. So many times we're waiting for just this mountaintop experience where it's like, I'm going to draw close to him, and man, the Lord, there it was. And, you know, the sky parts to us in the normal, in the mundane, but because we're not listening, we miss him. Sean's going to come up and share. He didn't know that he is. Hey, but just normal while you were holding. Gil, there you go.
Check. Okay, which part are you talking about?
Just like when you were holding.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
there you go. Okay. You know, you said it.
All right, so I have lots of children. I have six of them. And the second to the youngest, for the last week, he's just been waking up around like 11, 10:30, 11, 12, and won't go back to sleep unless one of us is holding him, in particular me, because I'm his favorite.
Obviously,
he calls for me even in his sleep. So, anyways, last night, but the Lord, as I was holding him, it's really easy to get frustrated, especially when you're sleepy. I was sleepy. As long as he needs, he's gonna be little. He's almost two. He's gonna be little for only a short amount of time. Hold him as long as he needs. I said, okay. Feet are sore, just personal problems. But anyways, all that stuff, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, I do this for you, right? Like, you know that I'll hold you as long as you need whenever you're upset. And I was like, okay, yeah. And he's like, and a lot of times, like kids, once they get hurt, you'll hold them for a little bit and then they'll get up immediately and go play, right? And the Lord said, yeah, that's what you do a lot. Your world will be crumbling and you come to me and you sit with me. And you sit with me until it stops falling apart, and then you go about your day. Oh, gosh. And he said, my lap is open longer than that. It's always open for you. Yeah. That you can sit with me.
You're good, man. That's what it was.
I'll pull it together sometime soon. That my lap is open as long as you need. That even after your world's crumbling apart, and I pick it back up and I'm holding it together. That you can sit here as long as you want to. And he just convicted me that I don't always choose the best thing. That, like Jeff said, in the mundane, we don't always choose just to sit with Father whenever we can do something else. And so through sleepless nights, the Lord taught me that to be like a child. As long as he needs. This is another thing that Lisa talked to me about, and we've just tried, is that whenever our kids hug us, to don't let go until they're like, okay, I'm good to go now, you know. But just choosing that in the mundane, choosing that in the day-to-day. There's in that with people, and y'all driven in Parker County, it's crazy, you know. But just
the worst.
We say, lean back. You lean back, you trust him, you rest in his arms. That's what the Lord has been teaching me, which happened to coincide with today. So
awesome. You know, but you see, it's in the mundane, in the late night, the sleepless night, where he speaks, and just a few words will change everything. We can tune ourselves out from the voice of God, because we're just going through the normal, going through the motions. Just, this is what we do all the time. And so what we want to begin to look at, not just today, but over the course of these 4 weeks, is we want to be able to go, okay, the Lord is always speaking. Am I in a position to where I can hear him and hear him well? John 10, verse 27, this is Jesus speaking. He said, and they follow me. A lot of times, like when we talk about hearing God, but what's beautiful is when you read that full verse, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We're going to talk today about how hearing God is not just hearing what he says, but it's following with what he says. Hearing is listening and obeying. The main idea for today is this, that believing that God speaks is the first step to hearing him. God still speaks, and we must be in a position to receive. Like, before we get into all of the things, we have to go, God still speaks. And you can say, yeah, but it's been a long time since I heard him, or I haven't ever heard. God still speaks. He's never stopped talking to you. What we want to do today is go, how can I position myself so that I can hear him better? If we don't believe that he speaks, then we'll fail to hear what he's saying. This idea, like our heart posture, is this of openness. And openness means having a heart that is ready and willing to listen when God speaks. There's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 3 where Eli and Samuel are there, and Samuel is laying down, and someone says, Samuel. Samuel gets up and he runs to Eli, and he's like, yes? He's like, I didn't need anything. I didn't say anything. So he goes and lays back down. Again, Samuel. Samuel gets up and, Eli, yes, what do you need? He's like, I didn't say anything. He says, oh, I think the Lord is going to speak to you. I want you to go lay back down. And when you hear your name, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel goes and lays back down. And again, he hears a voice say, Samuel, your servant is listening. You see that if we're going to hear his voice, it has to start with that posture, with that statement that says, we're willing to receive whatever he has to say about us, whatever he has to say to us and for us. John Mark Comer, which is this, he was a pastor, he's an author, and he says, the voice that you listen to is the voice that will shape your life. And the truth is, most of us are being discipled not by the voice of God, but by the voice of culture. And then we wonder why we're... You see, the voice of the Father always brings peace and clarity. You might not like what he has to say, but it will not bring confusion or anxiousness. Step to hearing him. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, if you will, or if you want to. If not, I did the slideshow and put it up there on the screens for you. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be in verse number 1. We're going to read through 9. The sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sang parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path. It didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. But when the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, still others seed 60 and some 30 times what was sown. Verse 9, let anyone who has ears listen. Jesus talks in parables, and you know, it's like no one understands you, right? Like, what's going on? We're your disciples, and we don't even know what you're saying. And so Jesus begins to explain it a little bit in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 13. But you look at this sower who's going to sow seed, and some of it fell on soil that was hard, and some was shallow, and some had thorns, but other was good soil. And look what Jesus says. Jesus says that for this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would heal them. When they're saying, why do you speak to us in parables? Like, we don't understand it. And so Jesus says, hey, look, here's why people don't understand. Here's why people don't hear what I'm saying. They have calloused hearts, deaf ears, and blind eyes. So those are three things that we're going to be talking. That word calloused means to make thick, dull, or fat. It paints the image of a heart that's been padded over, that's been numbed or desensitized. It's the opposite of soft and responsive. And you see how, if we're going to look at ourselves, like, so how does our heart become calloused? If Jesus says, hey, here's what we're talking about. Some of the ground was hard and the seed never took root because the ground was hard. And he said, that's like your heart. It's become calloused. You see, a callous doesn't just happen overnight. It happens over time. When you get calluses on your hands, some of you Gen Zers, you got to pick up a shovel to do this type of thing, right? You know, Larry, we've had to dig some holes, and Claude, you've had some calluses on your hand, and you're like, oh, man, I got a callous now. No, it's over time, there's friction by doing something over. The same is true. Jesus said, hey, their hearts have become calloused. What he's saying is that I've talked through the word. I've sent the law. I've done all these things, but their hearts have become calloused. You see, one of the barriers to us hearing God is that he's nudged us. He's prompted us to do things, and we've ignored it. And that's that friction, right? When the Lord speaks something, and it's like, hey, I want you to go give this word to this person in the grocery store. And you're like, oh, man. That's that friction. Hey, I want you to get out of your house today. Or, hey, I want you to invite someone over for dinner. Or, hey, I want you to put down Dr. Pepper's. Or, hey, I want you to stop watching these shows. Or he nudges you and he prompts you. And what happens? We go, no, no. And so it builds up a callous on our heart. And he's spoken to us, and it's like, hey. But over time, as we've ignored in that friction that he's allowed off of us. Right? The Lord wants to whisper something to us, and it just bounces right off because our heart has become hardened. 1 Kings 19. We've talked first of the Kings 19 in verse 11, it says, then the Lord said to, he's talking to Elijah, he goes, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. You see, he wasn't in all of those things. How many times are we looking for God in these big and magnificent things? And all it is a whisper. So hard to miss sometimes because there's all the things going around, all the things that are being said and done, and we're like, but all he's doing is he's just whispering. You know, sometimes we wait for these big prophetic words, and you're like, oh man, Lord, when you just share it, then I'm going to do it. And he's like, hey, how about the normal, the mundane? How about when you're holding your kid at night? One time, one of my spiritual gifts is prophecy, and one time I played a mean joke on somebody with it. I was driving by Academy, and I saw a mom and a daughter that she was in my youth group, and we had gone to Honduras together, and they were looking at a black Jeep that was for sale in the Academy parking lot, and I was just driving by. They didn't see me or anything, and I called them up, and I was like, hey, I was praying for Marley today, and I just saw like a black Jeep. And I was on speakerphone, and Marley was in the car. She's like, oh my goodness, Mom. And she's like,
Her name was Brittany. She's like, shut up, Jeff. Where are you?
You know, you got to be careful with those things. But sometimes we're waiting for those big things. Like, oh, the Lord, I was just praying us all black Jeep. And you're like, yes, Lord. And the little bitty things that says, hey, why don't you put back that extra cookie that you got? I know no one's going to see it. Why don't you just put it, like, in all the normal, the mundane, how about instead the guy that cuts you off, instead of being angry with him, why don't you pray for him? You know, it's up. It creates this insulation between us and his voice. And it can come from hurt. It can come from pain. It can come from ignoring him. But our hearts become calloused. Our attention, but do you know it? He keeps it at a whisper. It's a spiritual scar tissue, and you can't receive what the Lord has for you. And slowly, eventually, the voice fades, and we think that he stopped speaking, but really what it is we've just created a distance between us. A calloused heart is an altar that no longer burns. It's, hey, I'm here, I'm going through the motions, but there's no fire towards others. So what we're saying today is, like, if we're going to hear the voice of God, his whispers, we have to begin today and go, oh, man. I think Ezekiel 36, verse 26, he says, hey, and I'll give them a heart, a new heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. Like, God doesn't just go, oh, you've got this calloused heart that's been built up. Man, should have listened to me. No, God goes, hey, it's okay because the blood of Jesus. No longer will you have a heart of stone, but now you'll have a heart of flesh. And we have that opportunity. Like, that's not a one-time thing. That's every day we get to wake up and go, Lord, can I have a heart of flesh today so that I can receive any whisper that you have? It's this idea, I mean, you know, I got lots of kids, not to brag, but more than Sean. But it's this idea of Play-Doh, and probably the most frustrating thing to spend your money on with kids is Play-Doh, because what do they instantly do? Leave it out all night, you know? And so then it ruins it. But the idea of a calloused heart is kind of that Play-Doh that's been sitting out. And all it takes is for the Lord to just go, hey, let me just pick out this piece is hard. That piece is no good. And then he puts it back together, and now it's usable again. What we're asking for the Lord to do is, Lord, man, forgive me where I didn't listen here. Forgive me where I didn't, not only did I not put back the cookie, but I went and got more, you know? Like, just remove that. And then he makes it a heart of flesh again to where it's usable. Look at the next part in verse 15. It says, for this people's heart has grown callous and their ears are hard of hearing. It could be translated this way. It says they listen with difficulty. That could be in some of your versions. Their ears are hard of hearing, or it could say they listen with difficulty. In the Greek, that phrase means they listen with heaviness or dullness. Their hearing is sluggish and it's not dialed in. Before there was all the internet and things like that where you can watch TV, before, you know, we had bunnies to get those bunny ears to where they would just get the right signal as long as nobody drove by or walked in the house, you know. And there were many times where you could put foil on there. Somehow foil did something, you know, and foil, you could add foil to those bunny ears and, man, you could get clear stations, you know, it was good. The TV antenna, the bunny ear, so that the TV is clear, and as soon as you move and let go, it's gone. That's what it says, that their ears are hard of hearing. Their ears are deaf. And what happens is there's so many times where the Lord is speaking and we're just that close. But there's so much other noise and distraction going on. Have to go through here. Oh, it's like we're constantly having to adjust our bunny. It's removing all the other distractions out of the way. Like I said, sometimes we think that and we expect God to shout over the noise, but he rarely does. He whispers, not because he's far away, but because he's inviting you to lean in. You know, no one's ever whispered and their intention was for you to go farther away, was it? Like, hey, can you whisper and you're like, what did you say? Huh? And that's what the Lord is doing. The Lord is whispering, not to bring confusion, but his desire is to draw us back in. Yes. Where we want to be out on the lake today on our boat going, what was that, Lord? What did you say? And he's whispering, calling us back to him all the time. Because honestly, I don't know why I'm talking about cookie. My wife baked cookies last night, but I actually did a good job. But maybe there's some in my household that did not. Yeah. There were like a dozen, and then like there were two. Yeah, yeah. Boxes your stomach over there. The truth is that it's really not about the cookie. The truth speaking to you, not for this thing or that thing, but because he desires to be in relationship with you. He knows what's best for you, and he's saying, hey, I want you to come here. One thing that you'll notice all throughout Scripture, the invitation is always the same. Jesus will say all these things. And then he says, come to me. He'll say some of the toughest teachings you've ever heard. And he's like, and then come to me. Drop your nets. Follow me. Drop the cookie. Follow me. Drop the anger. Follow me. Drop the fear. Follow me. That's not as funny when I'm picking on your stuff, is it? Drop the worry and the doubt, the unbelief, and come follow me. But what it takes is it takes our ears to be attuned to him. The noise and the distraction. I think I was reading where, probably on my phone, where it said that we, on average, pick up our phone 96 times a day. We check our phone 96 times a day. What if we checked this 96 times a day? Notice how I said we. I didn't say you in that one. I said we. What if we checked this as often as we check our phone? Hearing is more than just sound waves hitting your eardrums. It's about attentiveness and focus and stillness. I have ADHD, which is probably pretty obvious. They've been out of my medicine for a few weeks, but hopefully I'm getting on some. But a lot of us have this spiritual ADHD. Have you ever tried to start praying, and then eventually you're making a grocery list? Like, how did that happen? We're praying, oh, Lord, this or that, and we're scrolling Instagram, like, can't hear him. And so what's our natural instinct to go, Lord, why aren't you speaking to me? If we're going to hear his voice, I'm not saying to, you know, this isn't the old 90s CD burning, you know, party that we're not going to have that. I'm not saying cut the cable, all that. What I'm problem hearing, all the other voices in our head, all the other voices that are out there. But we struggle with his because loud in our house, the one TV goes up. And then the people in the living room figure that out and they start turning their up. And we're like, okay, wait a minute. We got to bring this back down. What has to happen is we got to get rid of the noise so that we can hear him. Jesus said at that last verse, who has ears, listen. Is that not a weird thing? Like, he just says all of this and he says, all right, now, all of you with ears, listen. Probably talking to most of them out there, I would assume, you know, and 99.9% of people out there. What he's saying is, it's not just about hearing. It's about listening and obeying. I haven't ever done this, but have you ever had your spouse talk and you're nodding along and you've realized, man, we're pretty far in this conversation. I've got no idea what's going on. Your brain is somewhere else, you know? Man. If she's trying to talk to you, she'll come. She can tell when we're not really listening. She'll like grab me by the face and like pull my face right to her and like, okay, I'm listening, babe. Go ahead. You know, she knows. But so many times it's like we're listening, but we're just nodding along. He's talking all the time and we're nodding. Yep, yep, yep. Got it. And we're not listening to a word that he says. We have to learn to hear his voice. We have to train our ears to hear his voice. You know, like a mom can pick out her baby's cry in a crowded room. Or a better example is in the nursery right there, when a kid makes a noise, like you'll see which mom, they're like, that's my kid. Like, what are they doing? What's happening? You know? Because they've been with that baby, with that kid, that they've trained their ears to hear the cry of that baby. And they'll know, hey, that one's mine. That one's not mine. I just go with the probability. I've got more kids than most. So if someone says dad, they're probably talking to me. That's not training my ears. That's just probability. That's math, you know. But a mom, she's trained her ears to hear that. There's a family that I know that they have like just this noise that they make, and everybody in the family, they'll know it, you know, like to pay attention. Like they'll just go like, ch-ch-ch-ch. Like, so I've been to Honduras with them too, and like they'll be in the middle of an airport and it's crowded, and the dad will just go, ch-ch-ch. And the kids will like stop and all right, come back. I think it's like for a zombie apocalypse or something that they, you know, to be able to, but it's not loud. I mean, I know it's loud because I'm in a microphone, but it's just like, ch-ch. And their kids, the wife, the husband, anybody can do it. And they'll immediately go, what? For that. Even in a crowded room amongst all the noise, they can still hear the ch-ch. It's really fun. So I've picked up on it. So I like to just throw that around and do that to them sometimes. I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? So it's pretty fun. But in order that your mom doesn't learn the voice and the cry and the sounds of her baby and the noise, she learns them in the quiet. So that when it does get noisy and loud, she can still recognize it and hear it. By us and out into the world going, all right, I'm here, let's talk to me. It starts by being still and being quiet when no one else is around. And then you learn his voice and then you can go out. Last one is calloused hearts, deaf ears, blind eyes. Look at what he says right here. He says, and this is important, okay? For the people's hearts has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Now, it's important. Not, and I have shut their eyes so that they can't see. No, it says, who shut their eyes? They did, right? So it's not just like this, you're not going to see for a bit. Ha ha, let's see if you learn your lesson there. No, it's that I have willfully shut my eyes. But it's that they won't see. You see, because sight brings responsibility, revelation always brings responsibility. Respond. If I see the lostness of the world around me, then I'm going to have to respond. You see, there's a lot of times that we don't really want to hear what he has to say because we already know the answer. What's the saying? It's better to ask for forgiveness than... Why? Because we already know the answer. We know if I ask mom to do this, or if I ask my spouse, can I get this? We don't even have to ask them. Why? We know the answer. No, you don't need another pair of shoes, Jeff. I know, but I'm sorry, and I ask that you would forgive me, and I already took the tags off, so I can't take them back. You know, like, but so many times we really... Why don't we hear God? Because we really don't want to hear what he has to say. Yeah. We already know the answer. Like, there are things that you have to pray about, and then there are some things that you don't have to pray about. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, well, I don't know. Let me just pray and see if he wants me to be nice to somebody today. No, you don't have to pray that. You already know that, but when you encounter someone that's not nice to you, then it's like, oh, okay, that's why he wants to be nice today. We fear what God might expose. But his exposure is always redemptive. Sometimes we ignore him. We don't see what he's doing. Because when he does, it brings a greater responsibility on us. But the truth is that when he reveals something, it's always to restore it. That's why, like Thomas, you're from the resurrection, Thomas is like, unless I see with my eyes, unless I place my hands in his wounds and in his scars, then I won't believe. But what he's saying is, when I see it, then I can't unsee it anymore. And so many times, like for us, we're like, oh, I just don't want to see it. You know, like sometimes when the kids are doing something, it's like, oh, la, 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 brings responsibility. Revelation brings responsibility. As soon as I see it, now I'm responsible for that. If the homeless people, if you ever now there's something that goes, oh man, what? How can I not help? He said, if you see someone in need, and you have the things that's in, I'm giving you the Jeff version. Hey, if you see someone in need, but you withhold from them, then the love of God is not in you. But it's so much easier not to see them because then there's not that conviction that I'm supposed to be doing something. It's so much easier to not see, but the truth is that when we see it and he reveals it, he always restores it. Look what he says. Otherwise, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might have seen with their eyes, have and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back and what? Somebody other than her, him, who is that? And turn back, and I would heal them. Why does God say, hey, calloused heart, blind eyes, deaf ears, I'm going to remove and heal you. You see, there's a lot of times where God's speaking to us, and you're like, man, I just don't want to see what you have to say to me today. And every time that he reveals it and you see it, you go, okay. Thank you for that healing, Lord. I needed that. And it might take a while for you to come back and go, oh, Lord, thank you. I needed that. When you go to the eye doctor, they shine a light in your eye to check your retina to see if there's anything going on with that. If your eyes are unhealthy, then the light causes pain. You see, but the pain is diagnostic in the same way God's truth sometimes stings, but it brings healing. You know, like when he shines the light on it, you're like, oh man, Lord. You expose that and that hurts. But it's always because he has a better plan for you. Believing God, this is the first step in hearing him. We're going to end with this. So what does this mean for us? Like, okay, here's all the things, right? Calloused hearts, blind eyes, deaf ears. But what does that really mean for us? How are we going to go through this? God's voice brings peace and clarity. Be still and remove the calluses. Look what it, that verse 9 in Matthew chapter 13 says, let anyone who has ears listen. Let anyone who has ears hear. And hear, it means to listen and obey. So how do we remove the calluses from our hearts? Every act of obedience sharpens your hearing. The voice of God is louder to those who respond quickly.
to remove those calluses. When he speaks, you just respond. No matter how big, no matter how small. Maybe like a pumice stone and moisture and lotion and all of that, but the main thing is to just soak it. Hearts from where we've ignored him, where we haven't wanted to, it's to get still before him and allow him to just. We have to listen. We have to remove the distractions. You have to create space. You know, with my ADD, Eric actually has helped me out too on this. There's things that you can do. Like before it was just, oh, whatever. Okay, I'll just have to adjust and figure it out. But there are things that you can do that will stimulate your mind and get you to not just focus on one thing. But like I actually have to do it. You know, I can get caught scrolling just like you. I can get caught locked into something, the hyper focus on something. But I have to just go, oh man, okay, I need to get up. I need to go for a walk. Oh, okay, I got to get up and do. So many times there's all these noise and distractions and you're just like, oh man, there's all this noise and distraction, but yet we fail to remove ourselves from the situation. We fail to do anything about it. We're like, man, there's all this noise and all this distraction and we've always done. And we're like, Lord, man, what is going on? Why are you not speaking to me? Why can't I hear you? We have to remove those distractions, create a space for him to speak. We have to be prepared and not preoccupied. And then for our eyes, I just wrote down journal to remove the blinders. Like we have to actually expect to hear him. I keep with me in my truck, I've got a couple of journals, but one is just things that the Lord's talking to me so that as I'm driving, probably not the best thing to write down, it's pretty scribbly writing, but like, or on my phone, I'll have a notes where the Lord's just saying things. And I don't know what it means all the time, but I just learned to just write it down. And then later on, I'll come back to it and I'll be like, oh, okay, that's what that means. That's where that is. But what I'm doing is I'm saying, Lord, whatever you want to show me, I want to see it. Learning that he speaks not just to us, and what's hard is like sometimes we're like, oh, was that just me, or was that him, or was that dream, was that just pizza late at night and I shouldn't have had that, was, you know, like, what is that? I think so many times we're more willing to discount it being the voice of God than something else. We're like, oh no, that couldn't have been him. He probably doesn't want me to do that. He probably does. But we have to begin to expect him to speak to us. Like the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said, hey, it's better for me to go away so that I can give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth, all understanding. He speaks to us all day. Are we tuned into what he has to say? I love this verse out of Isaiah 55. It says, incline your ear and come to me. Once again, always an invitation. Come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Hear that your soul may live. You see, the voice of God is all the things that God has said. We can post it on Instagram and Facebook and be like, look at how smart I am. Look at what the Lord's saying. No, it's because his voice always brings peace and clarity. His voice brings healing. If you're going about this world and not hearing the voice of God, you're not living to hearing him. Will you commit with me this week? The Lord's already given me things that I know that I got to do and cut out and be more attentive to. Will you join me this week and go, man, Lord, you need to say it through however you want to. I just want to be a person that hears your voice. Can I pray with you? Father, we just pray that we would be people that long to hear your voice, that long to be in your presence. Father, if there's any calloused hearts, deaf ears, and blind eyes,
other than mine. Would you just speak so clearly to us right now? Show us how we can hear you better so that we can have peace and clarity, healing and life. In Jesus' name, amen.